Great storytelling, magnetic storytelling, is almost like a Cobra Kai. It's an offensive form. And so, what do I mean by this? That when you are speaking from the stage, you are doing a sort of offensive coaching. Instead of asking them questions and drawing out their problems, you have enough experience that you can anticipate their problems and you know their biggest objections and you know their biggest reasons why they don't think that this is going to work.
Welcome to the Primal Man Podcast, where we forge a recreation of what masculinity is by stripping away distractions and becoming truly primal by getting back to our roots with how to move, live, and be a better man. We are on a mission to replace the dad bod with the father figure. Here's your host, Chase Tullison.
We like a good story here. You're in for a treat, because that's what we're talking about. Kyle, brother, thank you for being here.
Chase, I am really excited to be here. This is a show I've been following for a long time. I love your style. And although I haven't gotten a chance to meet you in person, just your essence and hearing all of the stories through the community of who you are, it's such a big honor to be here. Thank you for sharing your platform with me today.
Of course, man, and same sentiment. Likewise, I seem like we just barely tend to miss each other at events, and so I'm sure it'll happen when the time is right. And speaking of that, there have been people who were glad to hear that we had connected in the past, and I'm sure they'll be glad to hear the both of us on one podcast, having a conversation for everybody to hear. And you, you're a fan of and a curator of good stories. How did that happen? What is the story behind the stories?
Yeah, what a great question. And there's lots of different threads to that as my relationship to storytelling and what I really see it as and how to use it has changed and evolved over the course of about 10 years. Maybe more, depending on where you really draw the line. One of the first threads is in my late teens, early 20s, I was certain that the only way I was going to live a happy and fulfilled life was by being a rock star. I played in a band and I wrote a bunch of my own songs. But I ended up putting a lot of pressure on myself to make it work and to make it happen, and ended up burning myself out on it. A couple of years down the line, I got a gig working for a startup, working for doing content marketing, and I started telling the story, and there was something magical about writing blog posts and writing content that people found useful and people saw, and I kind of felt something, there was something in here. Also, in the early stages of my career, I was in the middle stages of an autoimmune condition, kind of in my mid-20s. In my early 20s, I was very strong, rock climber, skier, all these things, and ended up going on a trip to Peru, swimming in some water that got me really sick, that I think cascaded into gut health problems and then downstream into thyroid problems for me. And a few years down the line, I couldn't hike more than a quarter mile without some serious knee pain. My jaw felt like it was going to fall off my face. No matter how many Tony Robbins books I read, I couldn't feel better, and was in a really bad place. Part of it was just like, well, I've just got to tough through this. I don't know any other way, and I don't know. Like, at the time, a lot of my beliefs and stories I was telling myself is this is permanent, and this is just, you can't heal from these kind of things. Nevertheless, my career started growing and evolving, and I found myself in a room facilitating speaking workshops of first how to get on stages and then later how to present and share stories from the stages. And this tapped into it reminded me of what it was like to be on stage and create an experience. And I started to love this and started to figure out everything I could for how to create an experience that moved people on the stage, just like I did when I was a musician. But instead of just creating applause, I wanted to create action I wanted to create inspiration, and I wanted to create movement. A few years into this process, I found myself in a room filled with health and wellness experts. And I sat down next to one of them, and she said, "Hey, my name's Dr. Grace, and I help people overcome chronic autoimmune diseases through better gut health." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, your audience must want this. They try and do this, but that happens." Just basically describing my own life. And she was like, "Oh my God, you need to come work with me." And so we started working together. She started taking me through a protocol for Hashimoto's disease, which is what I was experiencing. And I started helping her with her stories, her ghostwriting a book and creating a keynote presentation to really get at the value of what she was doing, because she was constantly lost in the tools and the techniques and the science of things. Within a few months, the pain that had once defined my life had faded away, and I could finally have access to my mindset in many ways. And I got an entirely new lease on life. And just through becoming so infatuated with the health and wellness space and realizing that my story could help other people because I had gone through what the client's perspective is and I could serve as a translator, it turned my sickness from a curse into a unique advantage, which a few years down the line, I began to really set myself apart in this community and this area. And it led me to a health and wellness conference where I met a mutual friend of ours named Mark. And I started learning about story work as an internal process in 2019. And so those are the three threads that have woven into kind of the beginning here. It's not the whole story, but I want to give you some space to respond and dive in now that we get to this point.
Yeah, and what a beautiful way to lay out three threads. And you were talking about speaking in front of people, and our mutual friend Mark England, he quotes Paris Robinson talking about public speaking and being on stage, that it's better than heroin. And I've never experienced, don't plan to experience heroin. I would still tend to agree, because it's the best buzz I've ever received. Getting up in front of a room of 30 plus people and putting on a, having their attention hooked from square one, mm-hmm. and having them engaged, and creating an impact. And both the two of the sides of the story that we're talking about here, telling the story and the internal story, are so instrumental in that to me, in both a structured workshop or presentation, and also sitting in a room and just being able to create ripples. Mark talks about every once in a while, one of his mentors, an author, Stuart Wilde. And in one of Stuart's books, he says, after a while, you won't necessarily need to hang a shingle on your door and advertise services and have people come pay. You can walk down the street, you can smile at a stranger, you can have a conversation, and their day will get better. They will feel it. And I've experienced that in myself recently, where I walk out of a room and I can hear somebody, I've heard this, somebody saying, "Wow, just having a conversation with him, I feel lighter." And it's so beautiful, to the way that you wove that together. That's what came up for me, is the impact that we can have when we take control of our own story and have the ability to tell amazing stories.
Absolutely. And the first step in that is to really understand what storytelling is or how to use it. And I think one of the biggest problems people have is they have never even conceived of this, or have no idea what storytelling is, rather than just, this is conveying something that happened in my past, is the best definition that most people can come up with. And so one of the important things that I like to emphasize and teach is that storytelling is like a martial art. You can't just have an origin story of how I got into a business and think that that's like your ultimate one punch man move that you're going to win every single fight with. And in fact, you want to be able to respond to many different things naturally, confidently, and without having to think about it too much. And storytelling provides these moves through different frameworks. And if you can understand these frameworks and know that there is a purpose that each of these frameworks serve and a certain set of ingredients that these stories need to be able to achieve this goal. Some goals could be creating trust or intrigue, which is what a good origin story should do. Some could be overcoming objections while you are teaching so that they don't arise on your sales calls. Some could be inspiring an action or a feeling without trying to obviously pitch people on something. And so there's lots of different types of stories and very specific statements that make up what would be a good kata or a good practice to have. And then ideally, we don't just have a keynote speech that we say the exact same way every single time, all the time, but we're able to flow and we are able to be present because we're confident and we're practiced, which means we're able to tell a story, but notice somebody in the crowd and make a joke and connect with somebody and actually listen to somebody instead of be so lost in our minds of the 99 things that we have to say. The reason you create that effect is you can actually be present instead of trying to tell them all of the possible things that you could be doing for them to enroll them.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and as you're talking about that, and you talked about overcoming objections and some of the different arenas that storytelling would be beneficial. And I would love to get into some of the other pieces of it that you brought up. And what came up for me is like, yeah, you know, in our circles, this is really beneficial when you have a message to deliver, I'm a story work, like my thing is story work, and like people don't know what that is. They want to make more money, or they want to feel better about their body or something else. They want to feel better about themselves. So telling a story to be able to get them to there is great. And somebody in sales, somebody who has an account manager, somebody who is a financial planner and gets to get people to like them to earn their business, somebody who's a team leader in a business, like all of these individuals, I'd imagine the ability to craft and tell an amazing story would completely up-level their ability to lead and to cultivate relationships.
Yeah, it changes in so many ways. One of the things, what kind of story do we want to tell? Or if there's a lot of coaches on here. So what do we want to do in telling that? And then we can talk about the effects and benefits that you were starting to illustrate. A lot of us, we want to solve problems. And so that's what happens when we talk about story work to our clients, and it doesn't really work. And story work, if you do have that, I'm going to use another martial arts reference. Have you seen the movie The Karate Kid? So yes. There's Miyagi-Do, which is the defensive good guy karate. And this is like story work. This is Enlifted. This is a lot of the things that we do. And then I would say that great storytelling, magnetic storytelling, is almost like a Cobra Kai. It's an offensive form. And so what do I mean by this? That when you are speaking from the stage, you are doing a sort of offensive coaching. Instead of asking them questions and drawing out their problems, you have enough experience that you can anticipate their problems and you know their biggest objections and you know their biggest reasons why they don't think that this is going to work. And they're not comparing you to like the next story work coach down the street. Their biggest objections are like, well, I'm good enough on my own or whatever. And so we need to coach them before they get a chance to communicate with us. And instead of just teaching them how to do something, we want to shift their beliefs and their paradigms about what's possible en masse at scale from the stage. That's what the role of our teaching is, to overcome their beliefs of why whatever you're doing wouldn't work for them. As a health coach, your most important goal when you're enrolling somebody is why it would work for me, even though the last 12 people didn't get you a result. And when we start to change how we see our teaching in this way, it takes a lot of pressure off. It makes us go from, I've got to teach everything I've ever learned, to how can I just teach on this one thing for this next 10 minutes to open people up, which gives you space to tell stories, which gives you space to relate, which gives people space to process and take in the information. Because when we give them so much how-to, there two things can happen. Either they're overwhelmed and bored at the same time, which I call bovrewhelmed, and they tune out, or they think that this will work on their, they can go and take these things and start doing these things on their own. And then they go and do it twice at 10% as effective as it would be if they were working with you. And then they add you as number 13 to the list of people that did not work for them.
Yeah.
And so there's a great amount of freedom when we can start to see the different types of stories that we can tell and start to understand the movements that happen. We're not just trying to convince somebody to buy our product all at once. We're getting them open to listening to us. And then we're overcoming an objection one piece at a time. And we're moving them along in a journey slowly, confidently, and clearly. And this is beneficial. This creates a confidence in you that is present, is playful, and it's flexible, whether you're on the stage, whether you're on a sales call, or just creating content. And the best part is when you start to see people responding in the ways that you described, and you can see it on Zoom, you can definitely see it when you're on stage in front of people, this creates more confidence in you. And even the act of clarifying your story and being able to be excited to share it for the first time or maybe for the 100th time in a new way energizes you, and it changes how you show up as well, which is really where this double-sided magic happens. We want to create a story that inspires you to do great things. And it's your story, but it's also inspiring and enrolling your clients by understanding them and empathizing with them and bringing their language to it.
Yes, you guys heard right. I'm full for the moment. We are full. I'm not onboarding anybody else in December. That being said, the waitlist is live. If you want to take action in January, you're going to be ready to get rolling, hit the ground running. The waitlist is live, and the people who join the waitlist will be the first ones who get an opportunity. I am only taking on 4 clients in January. I already have a couple of people who've gotten to the waitlist before I even recorded this. So if you want in, go hit that waitlist. The link is in my Instagram bio. The link to the Instagram is in the show notes. You already know. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Back to the episode. I love the way you laid that out. And if I may add something that I've experienced from, you know, when we got on and crafted a story for me to use, that it's like, oh wait, I do have something to relate to these people with. Because I know for myself as a coach, I can get really into the present moment and like, okay, well, eating well is just automatic. Like, that's boring. I don't struggle with that. Or like, just handling my stories. That's all. And it can be difficult to remember those times. And if I do, to be able to convey that in a way that really lands with people and be that vulnerable. And I remember when we got on, you asked me some questions. When you're taking some notes, asked me some questions. He's like, all right, cool. Listen to this. I'm like, oh yeah, wow. I can use that,
mm-hmm.
You know? And it's really cool. You know, from what I experienced is there was a story in there waiting to be told. It just needed to be pulled out.
Yeah. And that's one of the greatest gifts is since I've been able to practice these frameworks and I know how to tell them, that I can just ask questions and draw them out of you, which is a really different experience. While most other people who work in speaking and storytelling have these like expensive workshops where 20 people will come and you'll get 30 minutes, you know, each afternoon with a coach. I dig in and dig deep and listen and pull these stories out quickly so that first you can experience them and feel them and know, oh, I do have a story. But it's also, it gives you the opportunity, because we're always trying to control so much. And when you just are asking questions, it is kind of like a therapist or a coaching session, and you can kind of relax into it. And in the same way, like you said, it's hard to remember these stories. And one of the techniques I do, and it's hard to do this technique entirely by yourself, is I'm asking you questions and I'm immersing you in emotions, because we can't just sit in front of a blank screen and have a perfect memory, recall whatever we want, whenever we want. And just like we like to take people in with their emotions and story work, I immerse you in the client's emotions with different questions and draw that out. And once I can tell that you're in the right zone, then we do the pattern break, but it's a little bit different. It's like, when did you feel like this? When did this happen for you? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people will say, well, I've never thought of this story, or I haven't thought to use this story, or I would never want to tell this story. But for better or worse, our lives are littered with these treasures of stories, and most of us don't notice them, either because we don't want to tell them, we don't understand why they're valuable, or we don't even notice that they are useful in the first place. And so when you can get out of your own way and have somebody help you find them and then put them together quickly in a way that you can feel rather than just have written out, have it said back to you in a way that you can actually feel the impact of your own story. And it's kind of rare for people to have somebody have their, to hear your own story told from a third person or a second person perspective. But there's a powerful impact in that. And I think the beautiful thing is you can start learning to use that quickly. Over the course of time, if we continue to practice different stories, then I think the long-term gift is you learn to listen in the same way that I'm listening to you. And you do that with your clients. You draw out the stories and the language, and then you can process it and share it in the same way that I do.
Yeah, and the bow you put on it there for a second was going to be where I went next, about, you know, the correlation between what you're saying here and story yeah. work. You know, when somebody is listening and asking questions, it can literally pull stories to the surface that you didn't even realize were there. You know, I've seen people go, "Oh wow, I haven't thought about that in decades," or "Oh, I completely forgot about this 18-month completely toxic relationship I was in." You know, because they just shoved it down, but the emotion was still there in their body waiting to be pulled mm-hmm. out. And it's so interesting, the correlation there between stories that we have that we can share with others that can serve us, and stories that we have in our subconscious that are holding us back, whether we realize it or not.
I have a great example of the perfect cross-section of story work with speech work. I had somebody come on to a coaching call with me, just like the one that we did together, to craft an origin story together. Her name was Donna. She was a health coach. And so she gets on the phone call with me. I'm going to grab my microphone so I can be more dramatic. and she's like, "Kyle, I'm stressed out." And I'm like, what's going on, Donna? And she's like, "Well, I have these women and they have hormone problems and I'm fixing them in my business. But I want to work with children with ADHD and their parents. But I don't know if I can focus on both of these different clients at the same time. And I just found out recently that I have ADHD. And I have been just thinking about decades of dopamine-driven decisions that have led my life every which way. And I just keep thinking to myself, if my parents had only known, they could have done something." Now, anyone that's gone through the story work courses, your alarm bells and your head should be going off right now. And maybe you have a big smile. I definitely had a big smile. I said, "Donna, do you want to play a game?" Now, most people don't come to me for story work in the same way. They come to me to write speeches. But I've been surprised at how open people are to play these goofy games that I like to play. She says, "Yes, write down what you just said. If my parents had only known, they could have done something." I have her read and breathe, read and breathe, read and breathe. "How does that feel?" Not so good. Okay, let's change one word. If I had only known, I could have done something. Read, breathe, read, breathe. A little bit better. Still not good. I know now I can do something. Okay, better, closer, warmer. And we need to figure out objections, right? I ask her, what's one of the biggest reasons that somebody wouldn't want to work with someone like you? And she says, oh, they don't want to open up this Pandora's box of a diagnosis with their child and have to deal with all of these things. So they'd rather just ignore it. Donna, what does that lead to? It leads to decades of dopamine-driven decisions. And in this second, she realizes it. I know now, and that's why my story is so important. Now all of a sudden, she's ready to go. You can feel it. We can all feel it. Donna, tell me about a time in your life when you saw somebody with ADHD symptoms in your family. She immediately thinks of her grandson. Young boy bouncing off the wall. And then the boy's father, which is her son, shouting at him, trying to calm him down. They both end up frustrated, exasperated, and sad. And she can see the distance between them. And she can look at her grandson. And she sees herself as a young girl. And she wonders if he's ever going to get the treatment that he really needs. Because as she looks back on decades of dopamine-driven decisions and thinks to herself, if my parents had only known, they could have done something. And so we took the most disempowered line from the beginning of the call and we turned it into one of the most powerful objection-overcoming lines in an origin story or a connecting line. And we didn't actually, we changed the words, but we actually didn't change the words in the end. And yeah. That is the magic. There's several things happening here. She's waking up. She's connected to this. She has an energy. And this is a vital resource for every single entrepreneur at every level. And it gets, it's as challenging to access at the early stages as it is at the high-end stages. Next, so it's changing how she's showing up. Now she's energized. Now she's ready to go. It brings more energy to her business, better leadership to her teams. And she is enrolling her clients. And not just in her business anymore or thinking about herself, but she has a bigger mission beyond that that people can connect to and see and understand. And so simply changing how you articulate your story can change how the world manifests around you.
Powerfully put, you know, and I've seen recently some posts around your mess is your message. And that was a beautiful example of that right there. It's it can be literally right in front of people's face, buried in their subconscious for years.
That's
a very professional way to pull it out and then use it. And I wanted to, you know, we've talked about, and I want to continue to talk about how it is helpful storytelling and overcoming objections and enrolling clients. And some people listening may be going, well, I have to get clients to want to get on a call with me first, or I don't have speaking engagements. And is it safe to say that storytelling and having a good story can be chunked down into, maybe kind of sort of how you put your message out onto social media?
Yeah, I would love to get into that. And I just want, when you said your message, there is a very important element that I would like to address, because I think a lot of people identify with this idea and there is a danger here. So stories have a life cycle. There's three stages of a story's life cycle. The first stage is too soon. This is when the emotional powers of the story overwhelm your ability to stay in control of yourself. These are stories that you have not processed and have no business sharing on social media or on a stage. This is when you get up on stage and people start to wonder if you're going to be okay. These stories can possibly be very powerful for you, just like they were with Donna, but it's too soon. The next spot is the sweet spot. This is where stories still have an emotional pull on you that you can use and you can harness and connect with the audience with, but you've also processed them sufficiently that you can use that emotional energy to your advantage and strategically instead of like a wild horse. And finally, stage three is they're too old. They're past their prime. And this means that this is a story that I had a client once who came to me to write a keynote speech, and he had been running events for 10 years, and he had been speaking for many years. And his story for a long time was about how he had a stutter, and he was afraid to speak in the beginnings because he had a stutter. But over the course of 8 years or something, he still had the stutter, but it actually turned out that it wasn't a big deal. He was way past it. But by sharing that story that didn't really resonate with him, it kind of came off as inauthentic, even though it was his story. But he didn't have that same emotional pull to it anymore, and the story could no longer motivate him either. And so there is a danger to having a story that's past its prime as well. And so we want to always be riding that wave like a good surfer of stories. And this is why we're making new stories and we're constantly reflecting and seeing and growing. But how do we use these stories if we're not on stage, or how do we get people onto calls? Social media, telling, there's stories that you can use to relate to your audience every day. Having a good simple origin story to introduce yourself and have a pinned post, hey, here's why I got into the business, definitely have that. If you're not getting out on stages right now, I think if you have a story, you should be reaching out to at least other social media profiles, if not podcasters, if not other platforms, and finding ways to get your story out there. Or if we want to be really basic and really simple and not glorious at all, start some conversations, send some DMs, and get some people on the phone. Have a 3-minute story. Here's why I got into the business. And maybe have a couple of stories of, well, if I know my clients' biggest objections are this, that, and this, who are the clients that I've worked with in the past? And how can I tell stories about them and how they presented the exact same objection? And so if we're prepared for that, we can get on connection calls, we can get on sales calls, and start using and practicing these stories. But there's an infinite amount of stages out there. Even if you're like, well, I'm not very good online, or I want to work with dentists, wherever you are in your hometown, if there's more than a couple of thousand people, there's likely stages and events and things happening everywhere. There's the Association of Orthopedic Dentists that meets once a quarter in your town, and you've never thought to look it up. And a lot of the times it's because we want to wait until we have a speaking opportunity to prepare our message. But that's like, yeah.
There's the Chamber of Commerce too.
Chamber of Commerce, yeah. Right? Yeah. And so a lot of us are, we're just like waiting for somebody else to give us permission to start spreading our message and getting ourselves out there. But really, like, stages are flying past our faces, and we aren't even aware enough to feel the pain of missing out on them.
And it's awareness of said opportunities that creates forward movement, and then caliber and swiftness of action taken. Mm-hmm. You said something there about, being authentic, and I had a guest on recently who he talked about the vibration scale of emotions and how peace and love were at the top. And as of recently, they're saying that authenticity vibrates higher than peace or love when you're truly within your authentic self, expressing yourself with true authenticity. And that plays really well to to what you were saying about the life cycle of the story, and also to me, what you said about how you can go in and get this workshop where it's like, here's the, you know, I've seen it in online coaching programs, you know, how to build your business, so to speak. And it's like, here, fill out this box, fill out this box, fill out this box, here, go use that story. And to your point about conversations and being able to go back and forth and ask questions, it can be inauthentic because you're like, well, I just need to finish this worksheet. Cool. I have this here. I have this here. I have this here. And then you wonder why your message is missing its mark.
Absolutely. So what is authenticity, and how do we actually create it? There is a realm of being strategically vulnerable, which is definitely explained through the life cycle of stories. And another thing that I think is really important is empathy. And I'm going to define empathy a little bit differently than you're probably used to. There's certain levels of, it's empathetic to listen to your audience. And most of us, instead of listening to our audience, are so constantly thinking of the 99 things that we have to say to enroll them instead of actually listening. And so that's the first step is when you are prepared enough that you can listen instead of try and strategize what to say while you're in front of them. And then secondly, because we're listening to them, the stories that we tell, though they are our own stories, they're not about ourselves. And it's not, we're not doing this for ourselves. We're not really talking about ourselves. We're giving the audience, whether it be one person or 1,000, the opportunity to take a journey through our shoes and to come to their own conclusion of whether or not they want to connect with us or they want our help. But if we're truly empathetic to them, then we're really listening and we're getting out of our own ways as experts and not using our expert nerdy language that we talk with all of our friends too about. And we're taking the time to speak in and address it the way that they see it. And this is one of the most fundamental things, but if you can just, if all you take away from anything in this whole podcast, if you can describe your audience's problems better than anyone else and better than they can, then they will automatically credit you with the solution.
Yeah, I love how you described empathy. I've said for a while that the only difference between a conversation and an argument is if you've already decided what you're going to say when the person who's speaking is still speaking before they've gotten it out, gotten their message across. It's an argument, regardless of mood or tone of voice. It's you're not listening. And it's a beautiful point you made there. Listening when it comes to even just having those starter conversations with people. You know, I've been through numerous programs that it's like, here's your DM script. And while frameworks can be nice, when you actually listen, just have genuine conversations with people, all of a sudden this might blow some people's minds. They trust you.
Yeah.
Funny what happens when people trust you.
It's funny. It is funny what happens. And then you start to see the response right away. One of the favorite things I get to hear from people that are starting to implement these things is like, you can get immediate results. If you start to listen a little bit better, you can show up a little bit different. You can learn one of these story frameworks and you'll see a physical response in your audience that you probably haven't seen before because you were doing things in the old way. And this is one of the best like positive feedback loops you can get. You are excited, you share your story and they're finally responding, which makes you more confident and everybody feeds off of each other.
It's a regenerative
cycle.
And it's very, very cool to see happen.
Especially after, a lot of us have been doing this for years and we've been having like hundreds of conversations and we've probably been steamrolling them without intending to. And then they wander off to the bathroom halfway through our 40-minute pitch. And but we feel bad about ourselves, and we wonder if our stuff's really that cool, because nobody seems to appreciate it in the same way we do. And I've been working all these years, and nobody gets it. But maybe it's just a couple words away.
What if it's just a couple words away? And very, because everybody, you know, I want to share my cool stuff. And there was an example that came up earlier on when you're talking about, I want to nerd out on this and share it with them. And I opened a book I've had on my shelf for a while, Behave by Robert Sapolsky. And for anybody that's read any of Sapolsky's work, he's really smart. And he also puts all of his smart stuff about neuroscience and this part of the brain does this for like 20 pages. This part of the brain is responsible for this mechanism into this book. And I'm going to stick it out because this, the biology of how we behave has implications to, you know, it has carryover to my work. And if I were reading this for leisure, just to get the information, I would have closed it after 30 pages because it's so like you can, I know that with less words, he could convey more efficiently what's going on.
No doubt. And that what you're experiencing has a much shorter fuse when we're in front of people. You are like dedicated and you are a fairly disciplined and integral person to stick through that. And we can't give our audience the same credit a lot of the times. And so that's why this is, it's so important to get right. And we've got to, and doing it quickly too. A lot of the times an inexperienced speakers, they're the ones that are going like 20 minutes over time. They're speaking for way too long. They linger in the tough emotions for too long and wear us out. Or just being able to get to the point quickly and concisely and efficiently is, I think, one of, and being directed in that, which comes from knowing the frameworks and knowing where to go and being present and all of that. But coming in under time and being impactful and being concise is so essential.
Another Mark England quote, pros on the clock. And talking about the frameworks before we start putting a bow on this, are there any of the key frameworks that are shareable here to tease out?
Absolutely. So we have our origin story. And what I want to encourage you on is this isn't just my how I got into the business story. A good origin story is your encountering of any problem. It's an origin of a problem. And it's the problem that the audience has that you want to talk to them about. So anytime you have a problem, there's an origin story. Simple. Next, success projection stories. This is the identifying the objection, identifying the roadblock. And then we come up with a client story, and we want our client to, in the past, present the objection in the exact words that our prospects have. So I tried, you know, I tried all these ab workouts. I can't lose the belly fat. That's what he told me. Well, here's what we did. And just work on teaching to overcome or open up their perspectives and possibilities and wrap that in a nice little client story and then talk about the results they got at the end. And this is teaching. It's valuable. People are going to feel the value that you want them to feel. They'll still feel that. And they're going to learn about your products and services, but they're not going to be like, man, this person's trying to sell me stuff. I've told several of these stories already, and when I do this on stage, most people can't recount how many of these stories I've told before because they're so transparent. But really, I'm talking about my products and services, and you're taking notes on it. That's great. And that's the real power of these stories. And then a third framework, how do we wrap up stories, since we're coming close to wrapping things up, and I'll give you a good example of that. is an aligned ending story. This is a story about something in our life that has nothing to do with what we were just teaching on. And it's important that we distance ourselves from that to have the full effect of this. And there's a couple of morals that we can choose. Hire an expert, hidden gems, try something new. I'll give you a great example of a hidden gem story. And it'll tie a bow in this show nicely. So a few years ago, after going through my own health crisis and recovering that, I was in Utah and started returning to my passions of rock climbing and hiking. And I went to the desert of Zion's National Park, one of the most beautiful places in the whole United States. I went there and I wanted to do things a little bit differently. I brought a bike. Because in this park, you have to take shuttles and they're stuffy and crowded and hot. It's not that fun. So I got a bike and I had a completely different experience. People were passing by in shuttles filled and I was just riding my bike. I saw a herd of deer. I got to dip my feet in the river. And I rode further and further into the park away from any of the shuttle stops. And I find this little canyon. And I go up this little canyon and there's this waterfall. It's literally bursting out of the side of a rock like a faucet. And then down below me, there's this sparkling oasis and green trees shading me from the sun and ferns. And it's just this amazing place. And I look behind me and I see all of these shuttles crowded full of people. And none of them have any idea that they're missing out on this hidden gem. And you know, a lot of you out there listening, you're also hidden gems. And you could make such an impact if people just knew that you were out there. And that's why I believe in storytelling. So you can make that impact. So you can have the world know that you're out there. So I hope that you found this useful. And I hope that you would join me in sharing your story so we can let the world know that you're out there. Thank you.
Boom. Where can the people find you?
You can find me at Hey Kyle Gray on Instagram. I would love to share just with your audience special, just a short connection call for anybody that wants to talk about storytelling, its transformative power, how it can go on its business. I'll make sure to get that link over to you and in the show notes. And you can also go to thestoryengine.co. You can find my podcast and my books there as well.
Thanks for being here, brother.
Such an honor. Thank you so much for cultivating this space, cultivating this community, and showing up as a leader. The world needs more people like you, Chase. Thank you.
Hey, brother, thank you for listening. It honestly means so much that hundreds of you listen each week. We'd love to see you inside our free Facebook group, where you can claim your copy of The Way of the Primal Man, how to optimize your testosterone to love the way you look and live your most powerful life. The link is in the show notes, and we'll see you there.